Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I hope you can hear me. We might be having some technical difficulties. I apologize if it cuts in and out. I am the host of the show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the network. We have several shows that I hope that you've been able to listen to, and I hope that you caught Coach Chuck Creasy on before. Today on Wednesday, he hosts American Tennis with Chuck Creasy. And that is on every Wednesday. And if you miss any of our broadcasts here on the UR Tennis Network, let me remind you that those are also podcasted on iTunes and as well as on the Blog Talk Radio site under the UR Tennis Network logo and name. So please feel free to catch up on any of those. And as many of you know, we are approaching the 1,000-hour mark, and that will be right here at the end of March, and I'm not going to tell you yet. We're about at the 900th hour, and so we are broadcasting with that. And so if you will, bear with me today. We got a lot going on here. Technology wise, but there's a lot of college tennis, and I was at a college tennis match this weekend. I was very excited about that. In regards to, so I'll get you caught up on that. It is dual match season. Spring break was last week, and I want to apologize to many of my listeners. I had a family emergency that came up and wasn't able to broadcast my show, and just one of those things that comes up. We're not professionals here by any means. We're amateurs. We're just passionate people about tennis, and so we try to get you informative tennis news each and every week. And I wish it were a full-time job. I wish this were just something that I could do all the time, but it's not. And also, we try to promote it as much as we can. And sometimes the things get in the way. We rely a lot on word of mouth, so we appreciate if you would tell a friend about us. We're very fortunate that we've had over well over 100,000 people listen to our broadcast, and there's no telling who has listened to our broadcast, what kind of tennis people have, but we're very appreciative of the people. I can tell through several avenues that I have picked up on that we've been influential in some of the questions that are being asked at several high-end places, in several committees. So with several USTA people, with several ITA people, we're making a little bitty dent in some of these arenas, and we've had some great influences on some people, and I like to think that we'll continue to do so. We've got some great people. I hope that you know on Monday, Parenting Aces comes on with Lisa Stone. She does just an absolutely fabulous job in talking to the American public about junior tennis. And she puts an interesting perspective on things. And then, I mentioned Coach Chuck Creasy, who, if you haven't caught one of his shows, I don't know what you've been doing. But Chuck has always a great a great viewpoint on what is going on with American tennis in so many areas, and he knows how to fix it if people would listen. But I know that's not happening. And I've noticed over the weekend in particular, and I don't talk about this a lot because my arena is the college tennis world, but I just want to say this, that it was interesting to me at the BNP Paribas Open. We had lots of good tennis, which is always fun to watch in America. It was the fifth most attended event on the ATP WTA Tour after the Grand Slams, and congratulations to all those people that do that out there in California. But what was interesting to me was the USTA came out and said, you know what, we're just not very happy with the way and the direction that American tennis is headed, and we feel like it's the coach's fault in the American tennis world. And through the Facebook pages that I keep up with and the coaches that I come up through, there are several high-ranking coaches that want to blame the American teaching pro, and, you know, it's their fault, and by George, they need to accept responsibility that they're at fault here. And let me just say that on some scales, that could be interpreted as being partially right. On some scales. I tell you what, and I've been on the private side of this for a short period of time, and from what I've learned about the USTA and their red, orange, green system and their standard teaching mythology of still continuing on, of evaluating form and not evaluating results, is just a little perturbing to me. I was having a conversation at the dual match that I attended the other day with one of the most respected college coaches that's ever been around in the United States, and we were talking about this idea that the USTA has of evaluating juniors at their tournaments in regards to form, which is purely subjective, over results, which is purely objective. And then you compare that to the players that have actually made it on the tour, objective, to the players out there that have not made it on the pro tour because of subjective analysis, and they've made great college players. And it gets a little perturbing along those lines, because when you look at John McEnroe and you look at his continental grips, when you look at Monica Seles and you look at her two-handed forehand and her two-handed backhand, when you look at Jim Courier and his god-awful backhand, when you look at Andre Agassi, who played with a semi-Western forehand and denim shorts and earrings long before it was ever taught in the USTA system, when you look at Michael Chang, who was too short to do anything in the USTA system, Pete Sampras, who was not a clone, who decided to play a one-handed backhand instead of a two-handed backhand, these people were not, to the subjective analysis of a USTA teacher. These people decided to listen to the objective results that knew how to win and knew what it took to win. Pete took it on the chin for 2 years, but knew in the long term that one-handed backhand was going to win him Grand Slams. Andre knew that with a big forehand, I was going to win lots of tournaments. Courier had it deep inside of him. Chang just knew he could overcome. I mean, you could go on and on about these people who were not clones. Yet we sit here with one player in the top 10 who's 6'9", unorthodox as could be, and yet has figured out a way to win. And interesting enough, there was a viral video going around put out by some great teacher in the American system analyzing a backhand volley that apparently isn't done form correctly, done form-wise, you know, taught the best way possible, or, you know, doesn't look right. Top 10 player in the world. And it just blows you away that someone can sit there and not construct some positive for John Isner. You're going to slice this man up and down instead of build him up. And it'll blow you away that we have gone so far away from looking at the results of American tennis and are evaluating where the elbow is placed. And is the toss micromanaged into the right spot? Is the left foot placed in the right spot when he goes and chases down a ball? Does she put her arm out in front when she hits the forehand? And it'll blow you away. And you wonder why American tennis is in the situation it is. You wonder why America is in the situation it is. And this is why Yankee ingenuity has gone away, is because we've gotten so far away from results that we've gotten so caught up in evaluating performance. So I think that we need to get to those people that figure out ways to win. You go back to that great movie, Apollo 13, in which those engineers were faced with a dire situation in which they had to get a square peg into a round hole to save astronauts in space, and they figured it out. They didn't have a lot of time to evaluate a situation, and they figured it out because they had Yankee ingenuity, and they did not sit there for days subjectively evaluating performance. They just got the job done. And that's why John Isner, despite all of his shortcomings, foot nine, despite going to college, despite playing basketball, despite being injury prone, has figured out a way to climb into the top 10 and be the star of American tennis at this point in 2014, and have one of the top four players in the world on the ropes in the match, in the semifinals. And thank goodness, you know, and his coach, Michael Sell, now they've been at it now, and I looked it up. They've been at it now, if you believe this, since November 30th, 2012, through the ups and the downs, through the mud, through all of it. Remember, Isner retired at the Australian Open because of an ankle injury. Didn't play Davis Cup. They're both from the University of Georgia. Both played under Manny Diaz, if I'm correct in that. A lot of sweat down there in Athens. It's humid. Come together. We got something that we can both work on here. It'll take us a little while. We'll grind it out, but we'll figure this thing out. Sal was very excited in this, jumping out of his seat, jumping out of his skin. He's a USTA coach, or has been. But I don't think right now they're evaluating that backhand volley. I mean, I don't think today they're probably sitting there going, you know, if we could just get that elbow in just a little bit closer, if we could get that racket edge out in front just a little bit more, or if that grip were just this way or that way, you know. You know, and as far as I go as a tennis instructor, and I say this, you know, contact got to be the most important part at this point in my tennis teaching career. That's the part that gets the ball over the net. If you can, I mean, look at Celis. And look at some of the great ball strikers. They understand it. Contact's the most important part. Federer's got a new racket. Still hits the ball over the net because of contact. So, anyway, enough of that. That's pro tennis in this point. You know, and I wanted to let you know also that, I mean, considering where the Americans were at, that 4 or 5 weeks ago, and you look at the rankings, and we've got that same group of American men climbing in the rankings. The American women are climbing. A lot of talk out there how the American women are out of shape, but they're climbing. Sloane Stephens got a lot of TV time at the Paribas Open. Her coach, Paul Anico. I don't talk about Sloane a lot because she didn't go to college. I'll talk about her today because I'm talking a little bit about pro tennis. They're trying, and the results are starting to show. So quit being so subjective, and let's just be a little more objective. I would say after last week that American tennis is above average. So USTA for last week, I think that you were wrong. American tennis and its desire is doing just fine. Now, we'll see if you guys can keep the momentum. You need to quit changing the flip-flopping. You keep going back and forth, you know? Is it your fault or isn't your fault? Got to accept some blame. Quit pointing fingers. Anyway, okay. So, enough about that. Let's see here. Anyway, I was over at... I have recently changed my location. I'm up at Tyler, Texas now, home of the TJC Apaches, historically number one junior college in the nation, community college. Lots of good tennis played here most of the time. Well, I should say all of the time. It just depends upon who they're playing. So I had the chance to watch them play ASA. ASA is a team out of New York, and it's Advanced Software Academy, I believe, you know, and I apologize for that. It's a weird name, and I should know that. I'll get the coach on. I'm working on that. He's going to come on in the next couple of weeks, Coach Brian Slack. I had him pinned down for an interview, so we'll get him to talk about his team. But they took their break and they traveled down to the South. He's a new dad. He's traveling back and forth. Got to see the birth of a new family member of his, a son. And he's got his team down. They come down to play some of the tougher teams. They got nationals down in Texas. They wanted to come down, see the courts, and stay at the hotels. It was a smart move. Saturday morning. Not a great weather day, but they came in and they took it to TJC, and their men lit it up, 3-0 lead against TJC, and they did not let up and just hammered TJC. On the women's side, it was a 2-1 double split. It ended up being 6-3 ASA. Hard for TJC to take on the chin in their house. Hard to just kind of see them melt at home. You know, and talking to Coach Dash Cannell, who we've had on the show a couple times before, I mean, if you're going to lose, you lose in March. You don't want to lose in May. But it was some good tennis. That ASA team on the men's side, wow, what a group of athletes. That's all I can say. If you're a Division I men's coach, you are just plain silly for not recruiting athletes from those two teams. Silly. You need to swallow your pride and get over there and recruit some of those boys, young men. They were serving and volleying. I couldn't believe some of the tennis I saw. Very effective. It wasn't just wham, bam. There was some thought going in, well-coached teams, in-shape kids, good doubles, lots of team camaraderie, yelling for each other. That's what I love about these coaches that only get these kids for 2 years, man, it's like a baptism of fire. They go in there, and, man, they give it to them, and they get it right in a shorter period of time, and it is intense. It really sets up well for a national event coming up in about 6 to 8 weeks. Plano, Texas for the men, and then Tyler, Texas for the women. Going to be some fun times. Those two coaches know that it'll probably be them in the semifinals and finals, so they look forward to that. The TJC's taking it twice on the chin with Laredo one time, and what I hear was about a 6 to 7 hour duel. And now ASA, so a lot of work cut out for them. On the women's side, I don't think TJC's lost a duel all year long, and this was the first one, so they got their work cut out for them. The difference will be in May will be the weather. It'll be a little warmer than what it was. Something I learned about that ASA team, wow, they've got a training facility. They train at the USTA National Training Center. Yes, the U.S. Open Grounds. Wow. How's that for a selling point? They got some bad news from those coaches over there. Dropping programs. Yeah, so I started to look this up. I was a little disappointed in this. I found out that Temple College is going to drop their program in 2014. Now, that's a long, historically good program for community college. Coach Dick King losing the program there. Sorry to hear that. That's going to be a men and a women that lose there. And then I heard Scottsdale was dropping their program. That's out in Arizona. So I did a little bit of research, and I just wanted to let you know, and this was since 2000, or we're going back to 87 here, junior college programs on the women's side, 128 programs dropped. On the men's side, 96. Now, ITA, I got to wonder where you're at in this, because the community college programs, those are the least expensive. Tuition, room, board, books and fees at the community college level, it is cheap. Cheap, 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 cheap. Doesn't seem to be a lot of activism here. What I thought was interesting is they don't list Lee College as a drop program yet. They haven't had a program in 3 years. I don't even think the ITA is aware that they've dropped their program, which is just flat out crazy. It lists as Grand Rapids Community College in Michigan, which I played against at Nationals, dropping their program last year. Santa Barbara City College dropped their program. Some of them, they don't even know when they dropped their program. That's how accurate the ITA is. I would say, it's about, probably about 80%, they don't even know, probably about 60%, they don't even know when they dropped their programs. Now, to be fair, they do have a list of added programs, and in 2013, there were three schools that added programs: Northwest Mississippi Community College, Brevard Community College added women only, and Northampton Community College, they don't know if they added men or women there. Northwest Mississippi Community College added men and women, so congratulations. Now, let's be fair here. I want to go back up to, and I was curious about this, since we do talk Division I so much here on the show. Division I, men and women drop programs in the same period of time, 76 women, 43 men? No, that's not right. That is not right. I went too far. Sorry about that. Not even that many. 71 women, 15. The last one being University of Arkansas at Little Rock dropped their men's program. So you can see not many Division I teams dropping tennis programs. Division II, 76 women, 43, with Oklahoma Christian being the last one to drop in 2013. Division III, 51 women, 30 men. I've got that backwards, sorry. 51 men, 30 women. That's the same on all these. 76 men, 43 women at Division II. 71 men and 15 women at Division I. Sorry about that. Mass confusion there on the numbers. The last one at Division III, Bluffton University, the men and the women, 2013. NAIA, out of 257 member schools, only 99 sponsor men's varsity and 110 sponsor women's varsity. 44 men have dropped their program and 42, and they have no idea when they've dropped their programs. The last one. Well, the last one they have listed here is College of Idaho. Nice to have a statistics page that doesn't really list out statistics. And you can find that on the itatennis.com website if you're interested. Shocked in today's age that we're dropping tennis programs. I mean, everybody knows that if you're going to drop programs, you don't drop the tennis programs because that's where you get alumni money from. Tennis players give money. When you go for a new building, who do you go to? You go to the tennis players. You go to the golf players. You start dropping their programs. 15, 20 years, they're going to say, heck no, you dropped the program. Why would I give you money? You cut the tennis program. Go to the basketball and the football players. Then they're going to realize, well, the basketball and the football players don't have any money. They're spending on meaningless things. And like we did when we kept the basketball and the football programs. And the irony will come out. the tennis players will sit home with all their money spending on other things. So, anyway. All right, rankings, and we'll go through this right quickly. And I was excited about the rankings that came out. We've got some movers and some shakers. Division One women's teams rankings. We've got a quick change this week. Duke University climbed back up to number one, UCLA at two, all the way up from number 12, University of Georgia at number three, Stanford State at number four. Florida fell down from number three to number five. University of Virginia moved a spot from five to six. Texas A&M University at number seven held there. Alabama stayed at eight. Northwestern stayed at nine. And North Carolina fell from six to number 10. I was trying to look at this earlier. I guess the biggest mover last week probably was University of Utah. They moved from 37 to 27. Outside of that, Indiana University moved from 44 to 31. That's pretty good. Then University of Mississippi, 38 to 32. Movers and shakers. Men, and it's been several weeks coming. You could just see this. Ohio State, man, they've been holding on. Chin a few weeks back from Oklahoma. Oklahoma climbed up, but they didn't get that number one ranking. And then last week, Ohio State took it on the chin again from the University of Georgia. So this week, University of Oklahoma took over. They're at number one, climbing up from number two. Ohio State moves down to number two. UCLA stayed at three. Southern Cal at four. Climbing up from number 12 is Baylor University at five. North Carolina climbs up from 11 to six. University of Virginia falls from number five to number seven. Texas falls from seven to eight. Illinois travels from six to number nine, and University of Georgia travels all the way up from number 16 to number 10. So a little bit of shaking up going on there. Side of that, let's see here. Columbia climbs from 24 to 19. Oregon moves from 30 to 24. South Florida moves from 47 to 29. Yep. Other than that, College of Charleston, 75 to 64. Congratulations to Coach John Roddick. A long time ago, we wondered what would happen when he moved to college tennis, and now we know that guy can coach, he can recruit. He's got the number one team in college tennis. Let's see if it holds true through the hard court season. We want to wish him the best of luck. I know his brother was excited. They listed that on the ITA website as a tweet. The other ranking that came out was the NAIA, and these do this now, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We'll give the top five here, just individual rankings. I don't know why they don't do a team ranking. It would be a little bit easier. But top five individual rankings. Number one, Denny's Mack, Embry-Riddle, Stefan Kilchifer, Vanguard, Nicholas Fanonis Haltenhoff from Auburn University, Montgomery, Bruno Tiberti, Georgia Gwinnett, and Aaron Hendrick Aquinas. I think I know his dad. NAIA Women's, top five, Teresa Schmaus. SCAD Savannah, Curtis, Auburn University, Montgomery, Nisha, ooh, golly, Vera, Mala, Chella, Vam, University of the Cumberlands, Noor Abbas, Xavier University, and number 5, Valeria Pota, Georgia Gwinnett. You can see, Wayne, the team would be a lot easier there, NAIA, a lot easier. Now, the last little bit I have today, and I thought this was interesting. You know, we've been talking about this pretty heavily around here. The fate of doubles in the college arena, but we've gone so far as to say it's going to disappear from the junior and from the professionals as well. I just don't see it in the future of tennis, except for adults, where it's played regularly. I think the only thing holding doubles together on the professional tour level at this point are the Bryan brothers, who have already said at 2016 at the Rio Olympics, we are done. I think the ATP Tour will then slowly but surely phase it out of any sort of TV time whatsoever, and then I don't know why they're going to pay people to play doubles because there isn't anybody in the stands watching it. The only reason there were people in the stands this week at the BNP Paribas watching it was because Roger Federer was playing it. And he plays it, what, twice a year? That's what he said, maybe 3 times? It used to be that when you went to a professional tennis tournament, you got to watch all the great players play singles and doubles. But apparently it is just too tough on the body. It is just too tough. Maybe they should just play pro sets. 8 games. That's what we do in college. Or used to, at least some points. But they're shortening that and maybe get rid of that. So the Bryan brothers, they won their 95th ATP title as a team. Congratulations on that. In their news conference, one of the wisest interviewers out there has caught on about the format experiments taking place in college tennis that have de-emphasized doubles or eliminated it altogether. This comes from Zoo Tennis, and check them out. I would say do it because they do a great job of covering junior and college tennis. You got to remember that in college match days being streamed on ESPN3, 6 of the 10 singles first matches that have been played, none of them needed the doubles. Boy, I bet they were excited about that. Why do we need doubles? We don't have to show doubles. Look at this. A majority of the matches don't even need doubles. So here is the question. You guys have worked really hard to promote doubles in the States. So what are your feelings on the NCAA's attempt to try to make college tennis more TV friendly and trying to also minimize the doubles by doing so, especially with like the experimental formats that they've been trying? Spring they had, what, 4 or 5 different formats? They couldn't decide on one format, so they just threw a bunch of them against the wall, and let's see which ones stick. None of the players liked them because they didn't get a good experience. We don't know about the fans if they liked them. I guess that's who we're playing to here is the fans. I can't find anything on the TV ratings. I'm sure we got 1 million-plus viewers watching every TV college tennis match that was put out there. Everybody has the SEC network and the Pac-12 network and the Big 12 network. We were so excited to get college tennis on TV. Please. So here's what Mike Bryan had to say in response to that question. Yeah. We're not fans of shortening the college matches. You know, the doubles, I think, they're only playing to 5, which is right. One of the formats, 5 games. It was experimental. I don't think it took, which is good. Well, that was because it was experimental and they only allowed it for certain amount of time. You know, TV does help the game. Helps the singles game. It can make college tennis bigger. Well, we'll see about that. But there are probably other ways you can go about it. We would like to have doubles have bigger emphasis and matter more in college tennis. So eight-game pro set is what we played back in the day, and I think they should keep the format the way it is. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to guess that some suits decided to experiment here. You know, those people that think they're very important but probably pretty aren't, you know what I mean? Some athletic directors out there sitting behind the desk, probably getting some money to change the format from some TV executive, but we'll never know about it because nobody will ever look into it. Maybe some college tennis executive getting some sponsorship money from somewhere, from some organization to try this experiment. Who knows? Nobody will ever know. Try it because we say so. Here's a rally ball. Try this. Okay. We don't want to, but we'll try it because somebody said so. Oh, it hurts the arm. Now we can't do that anymore. You know, if I remember right, Coach Creasy told me, you know, and I remember they had meetings out the wazoo at the ITA convention. They had so many meetings and they couldn't decide on an exact format change, and the coaches voted, let's not do anything. And then they took some committee behind the closed doors and said, we're going to do it anyway. So what's the point in having a majority anyway? Because they're going to take it behind the doors and do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't matter. Second question. Have you had a chance to talk with the coaches about any of these changes that they have talked about with the doubles game on the college level? Now remember, the most successful doubles team ever in the game. Anybody come to you and say, hey, what do you think we ought to do about it? The most successful doubles team in the game. Now, I haven't talked to any coaches. I've talked to some of the players, and they don't really like that. I mean, college coaches recruit based on singles and doubles performance in juniors, and you know, I think the doubles should, you know, really be a high priority for these kids and for these coaches. And when you just kind of minimize these matches, it's not good for them. That's right. No wonder American junior tennis is not all around good tennis of what we used to. I would think that if we were going to talk about doubles, that maybe on the committee somewhere should be someone with the last name of Brian. Bob Brian, Mike Brian, Wayne Brian. I don't think we should have anybody on the committee with the last name of McEnroe. Opinion here. Because the McEnroes, I don't know that they know what's best for American tennis. I think they know what's best for TV tennis because they've been doing TV tennis now for a long time, over 20 years, and they like TV tennis. They really do. They get to put on a show, and they get to talk about TV tennis. But they've really forgotten their roots. I'm hoping that that doesn't happen with the Bryans. You know, because at some point, America, somebody's got to replace Martina Navratilova on the TV. At some point, somebody's got to replace Chris Everett. and John McEnroe and Patrick McEnroe. I mean, it just has got to happen. Fred Staley doesn't commentate anymore. Cliff Drysdale's going to have to retire soon. It's just the way it goes. So who's going to replace them? It'll be the Bryan brothers. So will they be talking TV tennis in a few years, or will they be talking what's good for American tennis in a few years? That's going to be the interesting thing. I honestly don't think that we're headed in a good direction for college tennis. I don't think we're headed in a good direction for junior tennis in regards to all these scoring changes and these format changes. And, you know, just today there was an interesting hire at the Tennis Industry Association, someone without a real tennis background. It's very concerning, kind of the direction that tennis is going. And, you know, in some degrees you can say, well, maybe we ought to have an outsider look at it. And just the most bizarre thing I've ever heard in my life to shake things up. If you don't play tennis, you can't understand tennis. Like, you know, how do you tell the story if you don't know what the story's about? You got to understand the parts of it, you know. I mean, I watched a show last night on the Marvel Universe, and just hear me out on this. Marvel, the comic books, did it their own way. They utilized the people of Marvel to tell their story because those people understood the comic book universe. They didn't go out and hire a bunch of outsiders, and they did it the right way. And everybody loves it because they know how to tell the story. And we don't do that. We think that now we have to go to the outside and tell the story. So I'm hoping that we actually get our act together. Because what the NCAA Division I does, Division II does, then Division III does, and then the NAIA and the JUCOs will follow like sheep. And then American tennis just continues to crumble. And we're all done for. And the only people making the money are the McEnroes. Remember, about $1.5 million a year goes to Patrick McEnroe for the red, orange, green. And the other people are getting paid, too. It's a five-year experiment. We're into at least year two, maybe year three. We haven't quite seen that great American teenager yet that's going to set the world on fire, but we've seen lots of videos of kids hitting 90-ball rallies. But nobody hitting yellow ball 90-ball rallies, so I don't know. Keep waiting for it. Keep waiting for it. Anyway, we'll be back next week. We got more guests lined up. Hang in there. College tennis is making its way to its national championships, and we'll know why I have a good time with all that. So glad you were able to listen in today. We've got a lot of great things that are happening out there in the tennis world. And I just want to say thanks for listening in today. And keep up the good things going. And as always, you know, we're out here doing some great things with the Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on iTunes. If you miss us live, which happens a lot of times, I know that you guys are busy. And we're also on the Blog Talk Radio Network, which I know happens. You catch us. Excited to see the numbers. So if in the future you get a chance, you can always go back and listen to the other podcasts that we've had. You can subscribe to iTunes. You can, and they'll give you a weekly update on those broadcasts as they come out, the new ones, and then you can also go back and look at the old ones. So just excited that we were able to talk to you today about what's happening out there in the college tennis world. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. Have a good day. And we'll see you back here next week. Make sure you get out there and hit some tennis balls. Go see a college tennis match if you can. Thanks again.